In an ancient city by the sea, a woman dies. Or perhaps she transcends. Her people say she was too radiant for mortality, too compassionate for the ordinary world. They built her a shrine where her voice once sang, and soon the fragrance of incense rises in her name. Fishermen whisper prayers to her before dawn. Mothers call upon her to ease birth pains. Years pass, centuries, and she is no longer merely a memory. She is a goddess. The question lingers in the air: what makes a human divine? And who decides when the mortal becomes immortal? The word apotheosis comes from the Greek word apotheos, which means to become God. It describes the transformation or elevation of a mortal into divinity. Across civilizations from Greece and Rome to Egypt, China, and Mesoamerica, human beings were sometimes sanctified or deified or absorbed into the pantheon through acts of devotion, mythic retelling, or imperial decree. In the ancient world, apotheosis was not a single moment. It was a process. It was slow. It was a communal act of remembering someone as more than human. Their life, their deeds, or their mysteries were woven into cosmic story. And this is where goddess worship becomes revolutionary. It tells us the qualities a culture finds divine in womanhood and how that divinity is expressed. Many goddesses began as mortal women whose stories were mythologized, their legacies sanctified by collective reverence. Let's take Egypt for example. The great Isis was not originally human, but later Pharaoh's queens were identified with her in life and death, inheriting her titles of Great of Magic and Mother of the King. The divine feminine became both lineage and apotheosis. In China, we have the beloved Guanyin, now a bodhisattva of mercy, evolved from the legend of a compassionate princess, Mao Shan, who attained enlightenment through self-sacrifice and grace. Over centuries, the people worshipped her as a goddess of compassion. In Japan, Empress Jingu, a semi-historical ruler, was later enshrined as a kami, a divine ancestor spirit. In the Greco-Roman world, figures like Ariadne, Semele, and Enolikothea, mortal women who encountered the gods, they were granted immortality through suffering or devotion. And in later centuries, Christian saints and mystics such as Mary, the mother of Jesus, they took on attributes of the ancient goddess, embodying compassion, intercession, and celestial queenship. In her apotheosis, we see both inheritance and transformation of the divine feminine. But not everyone celebrates the elevation of mortals to divine status. Apotheosis is controversial precisely because it blurs boundaries between human and divine, myth and history, power and humility. In patriarchal systems, the idea of a woman ascending to goddesshood often provoked resistance. Deification was political as much as spiritual. It was tied to who was allowed to be seen as sacred. Religious reformers, they often condemned goddess worship as idolatry or even superstition, erasing or absorbing female divinities into male-centered cosmologies. In modern times, some people find the idea of human apotheosis empowering, reclaiming spiritual agency, embodiment, and reverence for the feminine, while others view it as mythologizing power in ways that can obscure real histories of women's lives. Apotheosis invites both devotion and debate. It asks us to look at how societies define sanctity, worth, and transcendence, and whose transcendence is celebrated. On a deeper level, the worship of once human goddesses reflects a psychological truth: the need to honor what is luminous and eternal within the human experience. When a woman becomes a goddess, she becomes a mirror of possibility, the embodiment of compassion, resilience, or sovereignty that others seek to awaken in themselves. The boundary between mortal and divine softens. What is worshipped in her is also latent in us. This is why devotion matters, not because it separates us from the divine, but because it reminds us that we participate in its unfolding. Today, the idea of goddess apotheosis lives on in subtle ways. We see it in the canonization of saints in the Catholic Church. We see it in the veneration of ancestral spirits in African and indigenous traditions. Also in the cultural deification of artists, mystics, and even visionaries whose influence feels larger than life, from poets to even activists. Modern goddess spirituality often reclaims these narratives, seeing goddess worship not as idolatry, but as recognition of divinity and humanity, particularly the feminine divine, long denied its place. Now, if you are in a space to do so, close your eyes. Take a breath. Perhaps take two. Imagine standing in a temple filled with candlelight. Before you is a statue, not of a distant deity, but of yourself, radiant and alive. You see the courage you've earned, the compassion that you've cultivated, the wisdom that has grown from your pain. This is your apotheosis, not as vanity, but as remembrance. The divine does not crown us from above. It rises within, through every act of love, through every act of courage, and even devotion. So ask yourself this question: what aspect of my humanity longs to be honored as divine? What deserves my reverence and not my shame? Take a breath and feel that answer glowing in your heart like an ancient flame. The making of a goddess is ultimately an act of memory by a people, by a community, or even a soul. It's a way of saying, this life mattered so deeply, it could not be forgotten. Apotheosis, then, is not only about becoming divine. It's about remembering that the divine has always been human enough to love, to suffer, and even to rise again through all of us.